What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero. Because World War III is a really bad idea. Here is your host, Michael Rivero.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show. Hour number two. The phone lines are open, 800-313-9443. And today, the corporate media is all abuzz about Oprah 2020. And apparently, at the Golden Globe Awards, she did a nine-minute speech. And all of a sudden, it's all over the media. She wants to run for president. And I think this really shows how distorted our political system has become. And I've already seen jokes circulating around the net about how she's black, she's a woman, she's a lesbian, she's got all the qualifications the left needs in a chief executive here. But apparently NBC tweeted out, implied in a tweet, that Oprah will actually run for the presidency. And really, it's getting silly out there. All right, let's talk about the war zones, because there's a lot of stuff going on out there. The Syrian army has liberated a large area and a key town in southern Idlib. And apparently the Hayat Tahrir al-Sham's defense totally collapsed. And the Syrian government forces liberated the town of Sinjar and nearby villages, including al-Nasira, Jebel al-Kafi, Lubaida, Hawa, Sheikh Baraka, I'm not even going to try that one, Talamarna, and a bunch of others. So this is pretty much over. There is a problem, however, and that is that the United States government is once again talking about an autonomous Kurdish region carved out of Syria. And I'm sure the Syrian government, aided by Russia, are going to say, no, it's none of your business what goes on in Syria. The U.S. government doesn't want to give up. They don't want to admit they got defeated in Syria, because that would destroy the momentum for the wars yet to come. So they'll pour men and money into Syria. Same thing with Afghanistan. They don't want to admit they've lost those. They'll just stay on the ground and say, well, we may not be winning, but we're not losing. America doesn't lose wars, not counting Vietnam and the Korean War. Now, apparently over in Iran, Major General Mohammad Ali Jafari, commander of the Iranian Revolutionary Guard Corps, is slamming the allegations that Iran is sending missiles to Yemen, basically pointing out how impossible that would actually be because of all the surveillance in the area, all the radar, the fact that Yemen is totally closed off by air. But again, prior to the attack on Iran, they have to be demonized. Same thing with Russia. Story coming out of Mint Press News here. Apparently, on the last Hannity show, they had a bunch of Iran hawks out there saying, arm the Iranian protesters, just drop in guns, let them have guns. And sadly, I thought Fox News was becoming a little bit more centered and real. But apparently these Iran hawks were also Iraq hawks. They were all over the TV saying, yes, we have to go get those nuclear weapons. And I thought Fox News was raising above fake news, but apparently not here. Now, over in Pakistan, they are continuing to respond to Donald Trump's cutting of financial aid to them. The first thing that they did, which we reported last week, is they've already established a direct trading agreement with China based on the yuan. And now apparently what they're doing is they're going to expel over 1.5 million Afghan refugees in the next 30 days. This is going to pour them back into Afghanistan, push Kabul closer to collapse, and consequently, they're going to be filling the Taliban's ranks of supporters. So that didn't work out too well. Apparently, Israel's Netanyahu is now urging the United Nations to end the UN Palestine Refugee Agency. In other words, now that Donald Trump is talking about cutting off all funding to the Palestinian Authority, Israel wants the United Nations to basically impose even more hardship on the people. Right now in Gaza, because they are dependent on Israel for electricity, because Israel bombed their own indigenous power station two or three wars ago, they only have electricity for 6 hours a day. That's all Israel will give them. Meanwhile, over in Egypt, an Egyptian intelligence officer has been calling talk shows in Egypt and saying that Egypt might accept the Jerusalem move. Said strife with Egypt was not in Egypt's national interest. True enough, but Israel likes strife, so strife is coming anyway. We're going to do a shout out now to our on-air affiliates who are just now rejoining the network here. Now, Israel has passed a new bill to make it more difficult for anybody other than Jews to have land in Jerusalem. And this new bill says 2/3 of the Knesset majority is required for Israel to relinquish sovereignty over any part of Jerusalem. Now, of course, under international law, Israel has no sovereignty over East Jerusalem, which has been illegally occupied and annexed in 1967 and 1980, respectively. An equally disturbing part of the bill is it removes two Palestinian neighborhoods from the municipal jurisdiction of the city. Basically sends them back over to being part of the West Bank. And the two affected neighborhoods are Kufr Aqab and the Shufat refugee camp. So already the argument is building over East Jerusalem status. Sudan has deployed thousands of their militiamen on a border with Eritrea. And they're using the rapid support forces. And apparently, eyewitnesses are saying that the RSF are using tanks and hundreds of vehicles with weapons, mounted weapons, arriving in the city. And apparently, Sudan is deploying these forces in anticipation of internal Eritrean developments that could lead to a large wave of refugees coming across the border. Now, as you know, all of a sudden, North Korea and South Korea are making nice. Donald Trump tried to take credit for it. And now Donald Trump is saying, yeah, well, he'll talk to Kim Jong-un, no problem. He's just backed off this more aggressive do-what-I-say-or-else attitude. But there's a very interesting story, and this came out of CNBC, saying that North Korea may suddenly want talks because it has become militarily powerful. And I speculated about this when this whole North Korea thing was starting to be fanned up, that North Korea would be more interested in negotiating from a position of strength. And according to this article in CNBC, that seems to be happening. Now, other people are taking a much more fearful tone here. Over at The Atlantic, they're talking about the unexpected return of duck and cover. Now, 60 years ago, in 1951, there was a film produced for the federal government's Civil Defense Agency. It was done in response to Soviet nuclear tests, and it featured an animated turtle named Bert and other real-life people from across the country, mostly from New York. And duck and cover became an icon of the Cold War. And yes, I watched it when I was in school. It's still out there on YouTube if you want to hunt it on down. Some of it seems very dated and a little silly today. But if you're interested in this topic, I would also recommend The Atomic Cafe. This was a documentary that came out in the 1970s And it was considered so alarming that briefly the U.S. government tried to block it and censor it, but they failed on that one. But all of a sudden, the American people are having to confront the reality. There could be another war. There could be a nuclear war. Not just North Korea, but we're talking Russia and China. And you need to remember just how dangerously close we came to that during the Cuban Missile Crisis. Now, having lived through that whole thing myself, it does weigh upon you. And here in Hawaii, where we're very much closer to North Korea than you are, it does weigh on people's minds. Now, after World War II was over and before the Soviet Union got the bomb, everybody was relaxed. There's no more war, no danger of war, no danger of being bombed. And then the Soviets got the secret of the atomic bomb from the Rosenbergs, and everybody was building fallout shelters. Okay, here's an article. This is from Information Clearinghouse, and it says, "Are our leaders really that stupid?" And they're talking about last year's PBS series, The Vietnam War, which was very horrific to watch, and basically sent a message. Massive airstrikes, bombing, and napalm that killed civilians turned the citizenry against the United States, which you would expect it to do. When Adolf Hitler sent the V1 and V2 over to London, he was convinced that the fear the weapons created would cause the British people to put pressure on their government to capitulate to Germany's terms. And the exact opposite happened. The missile attacks hardened the resolve of the British people. There are plenty of historical precedences for people just willing to go all the way when a conflict breaks up. Look at the Japanese, who prior to the atomic bombings of Hiroshima and Nagasaki appeared ready to fight all the way to the death. And, you know, when the Hiroshima and Nagasaki were bombed, the shock was it was a single bomb. But it wasn't the worst bombing. The bombing, firebombing of Tokyo killed many more people. So the point of this article is that the methodology that we used in Vietnam, massive airstrikes, bombings, killing civilians, didn't work. Even the people whom the United States was supposed to be helping in Vietnam grew to hate the U.S. presence in the country. So why are we following the same strategy in all these other countries we're at war with? Massive airstrikes, bombings, killing of civilians. When do people learn? All right, we're going to talk about the economy a little bit here. The global debt is estimated to have hit a record $233 trillion. U.S. taxpayers are on hook each for $921,000 in unfunded liabilities. Here we see the end result of allowing a privately owned central bank to create the public currency out of thin air and then loan it into circulation at interest. The debt grows faster than the available money supply. And it doesn't matter how you shuffle the debt around the world from one country to the other. Sooner or later, it is unsustainable. And we are there. We're there. Now, apparently, the Bank of Japan is starting to back off from their program of quantitative easing. And the total assets on their balance sheet actually inched down a little bit from the end of November. And it's a small amount, but it does signal a desire to get off that quantitative easing trap, that overstated balance sheet. And the Federal Reserve, of course, is talking about winding back all the quantitative easing. But a lot of people are very alarmed that Any walking back, any raise on interest by the Federal Reserve could trigger a market crash. It's incredibly fragile over there. Incredibly fragile. And putting more pressure on the U.S. economy is signs that China will issue a gold-backed currency this year. And you know that other countries are going to want to trade with that rather than the U.S. paper dollar. Harley Schlanger is out there with a comment that we are in terms of our economy, a giant Ponzi scheme. And he says the physical economy is not growing. And he's absolutely right. We're seeing the numbers forced up by manipulation, but the actual economy, the physical economy, is not growing. We're not seeing a lot of new construction. We're not seeing a lot of new factories. According to a story out of Dr. Housing Bubble, 30% of working adults are now living with a roommate. And in some cities like San Francisco and Los Angeles, it may be two or three roommates just to pay the rent. Now, we had that caller early in the day who was talking about in the good old days where, you know, the husband had a job and he brought home the money and the household was able to function. And today, even two incomes might not get you there. Even two professional level incomes in some of these cities like Silicon Valley. All right, we're going to take a phone call now from Frank in North Carolina. Aloha, Frank. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Well, I apologize for breaking up the subject matter here, but back to the war thing for just a moment. I was always a big fan of the Twilight Zone series.
Oh, so was I.
1960s. Yeah, I grew up on that. And I recently watched an episode that I don't think they play very often because I don't recall ever having seen it, ever. I wasn't even aware of it. But it starred, I don't know the one guy's name, but I've seen him in a lot of old Westerns, usually plays like a redneck or a bad guy cowboy or something. But okay. He played the GI veteran of the Pacific Theater, island hopping, Okinawa, et cetera. This is set in contemporary times. The other character, I think they were the only actual two actors in this episode. There was no one else, and it took place mostly in an attic where this guy was cleaning. And anyway, this Japanese guy comes in, played by, I'm sure you'll know his name, from the other show from the 60s, Star Trek, the guy that played Sulu.
Yes, George Takei.
Well, he was the guy. Yeah, right. He played like a landscaper, and he was looking for business. And he said, "Well, I can cut your yard for $8 a month. Somebody said you might be interested." And anyway, there's a samurai sword involved and whatever. But anyway, they end up getting into it, and it's quite a show. But I'm sure it was probably very controversial, and they probably didn't want to show that very much. But it just basically deals with their demons with one another, and they end up getting into a fight because the one guy's father was, in the war. The Japanese guy, his father was in the war. And but anyway, the GI admits at one point that, hey, look, we were told not to take any prisoners. We killed everybody. And, you say that the Japanese wouldn't surrender. And I also have to wonder how much of that was because, I used to think it was just propaganda, that they were propagandized, that we wouldn't take prisoners and that we would do this and that to them. And, the torture would be horrific and all that. But I wonder, how much of that was actually true. That we did torture the Japanese, we had to...
Well, there's no question. Stay on the line. Stay on the line. We got to do a break for commercials. I'm going to come back to you after these few words.
Oh, yeah. Extendivite is more than just a heart tonic. Most basic diseases are caused by yeast in the gut and metals in the liver, and we all have a bit of both. The garlic in Extendivite has a yeast-killing effect in the gut while also helping the sulfur enzyme in the liver get rid of the metals. Extendivite just may improve your overall health. Products like Extendivite are the only way we are going to get our society healthy. And if you're waiting for the government and pharmaceutical care to solve your health problems, you're going to have a long, disappointing wait, I think. Extendivite is a complete formula for extended life in the new millennium. 80 can be the new 60. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a two-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
What this country is coming to, I sure would like to know. If they don't do something, by and by, the rich will live and the poor will die. Doggone, I mean the panic is on. Can't get no work, can't draw no pay.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show. And once again, if you would like to support Republic Broadcasting, the postal address for check or money order is Republic Broadcasting Network, 2251 Double Creek Drive, number 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. If you want to phone in and become a recurring subscriber, the number is 800-724-2719, extension 03. Now, we're talking here with Frank in North Carolina. We're talking about an episode of Twilight Zone, which I think, like most kids, was a favorite show here. And the specific episode we're talking about is called The Encounter. And it basically aired on May 1st, 1964. And it was responded to because of the issue of racism. It was not allowed to go into syndication. And so you're right. It's something that nobody has seen in all of these replays and the rest of it. Apparently, January 1st, 2016, the episode was finally re-aired as part of Sci-Fi Channel's annual Twilight Zone New Year's Eve marathon. One aspect of the story that should be mentioned, apparently the story focuses around the samurai sword having some kind of strange effect on people who hold it. And they get into this argument, and unfortunately, they both die. So, anyway, Frank, are you there? Frank, are you there? Did we lose Frank? All right, looks like it. Phone lines are open, and let us get back to the news here. All right, well, let's talk about the economy a little bit here. Regis is going to be closing 600 of their salons in Walmarts. I don't know if you go to Walmart or not. Every once in a while, we do, because of the prices of prescription medication are really low there compared to other places. And it does sometimes look like Walmart has an identity crisis, because you go on in there and you'll see these little sections carved out for other businesses. There's a McDonald's. There's an eyeglass place. There's a nail salon. There's a hair salon. And apparently, at least one of the operators of these salons has decided they're not getting enough traffic. And so they're going to be closing 600 of their salons in Walmarts, which I'm sure Walmart will quickly fill with something else. Now, apparently, economic analyst John Sneason, he's part of the financial sector, and he's concerned about a recent warning from Morgan Stanley that there will likely be a correction in global stocks this year. And apparently, Morgan Stanley recently sold off all of their junk bond holdings. And the CIO, Mike Wilson, said this: while the tax cuts just enacted in the U.S. may lead to better growth in the short term, they may also bring forth the excesses we typically see before a recession, which is something credit markets figure out before equities. As a result, we recently took our remaining high-yield positions to zero as we prepare for deterioration in lower-quality earnings in the U.S., led by lower operating margins. And then he commented, investors should prepare for at least one correction in global stocks this year. Now, that brings me to another point. There was an article that we had on whatreallyhappened.com today where everybody is caught up in Bitcoin mania. It looks like, all right, we'll take Frank after the next commercial break. People are so caught up in Bitcoin mania, they're apparently going into debt to buy Bitcoin. That is probably one of the most foolish things anybody can do, is to go into debt for investment capital. And I know there are a lot of players on Wall Street who do that, and they make a lot of money in the long run. But every once in a while, they'll hit gambler's ruin, and you see them falling off the top of multi-story parking structures. If you're going to be an investor, you've got to have risk capital. That means money you don't need to live on, and certainly not money that you've borrowed. Because I'm still smelling tulips around Bitcoin. I have to be very, very honest. Story coming out of the sounding line. Accounting for reality, pension funds are in big trouble. And this article is talking about how public sector workers, what they pay into pension funds and the amount they receive in benefits, it's starting to divide. And employee contributions to public sector pension funds can be as little as 3% for the first 10 years of work and nothing after, while the benefits are often as much as 70%. Obviously, there is a true disparity between money flowing into the pensions and money flowing out. Now, supposedly, wise and prudent investment would make up that stopgap. But we saw that all wrecked back in 2008 with the mortgage-backed security fraud. So if you're depending on a pension fund for retirement, you may be in a little bit of trouble. We're going to take a break for commercials. We'll be back with phone calls after these few words.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you. And your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Do you or a loved one suffer migraine headaches? Listen to what scientist Kurt Hendricks has to say.
35 million people in the United States suffer with debilitating migraines. If you or a loved one are one of them, you need to know about MigraLeaf. Hi, I'm Kurt Hendricks, the scientist that formulated and patented the MigraLeaf migraine formula. MigraLeaf is a non-prescription dietary supplement recommended by neurologists, pharmacists, and pediatricians to address nutritional deficiencies in both adults and children over 2 with migraines. Try MigraLeaf for 3 months and see the powerful difference it can make in your life, or get your money back, no questions asked. Go to MIG911.com or call 800-MIG-7354. You can change your life today.
So if you suffer from migraines, don't wait. Call 800-MIG-7354. That's 800-MIG-7354. Or visit MIG911.com.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you a few from Amazon.com. By Mel. Great product. My husband and father-in-law use it regularly. Both my husband and father-in-law have had significant change in their blood pressure and overall health. By Amazon customer. It works for me. Returned to buy the tincture and the capsules as they were on sale during February. Unlike some other products, this one worked for blood pressure and occasional irregular heartbeat. Extendivite produced noticeable results after just 2 bottles, a 4-month supply. I take Extendivite 3 times a day, every day. I think this supplement has helped with my increased fitness regime and to lower my blood pressure. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
If you got the money, honey, we got the bombs. We'll plant them anywhere you like and blow up anyone. Whip this world into a frenzy, killing babies, dads, and moms. If you got the money, honey, we got the bombs. If you got the money, well, we won't say we did. The towers in New York.
And Aloha America, welcome back to our program here. And we're going to go to the telephone lines now. Frank in North Carolina. Aloha, Frank. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Well, I never hung up, actually, from my call earlier. But
There was a technical glitch.
But you indeed had the episode. You found that right away. It was the encounter. And it was only those 2 guys, and it was about, everything that happened from the attack on Pearl Harbor and after that. And the Japanese guy, he was dealing with the demons of his father, who had, he didn't want to deal with it, but his father had been a spy for Japan. So he basically, his father was a traitor. And then the other guy was dealing with his demons because he had killed people under the training that he had undergone. We don't take any prisoners. And, he never got over it. He was dealing with those demons. But anyway, that's interesting the story that you tell about it being taken out of syndication, because I knew I would have seen that sometime over the past 40 plus years since I started watching The Twilight Zone. And I wonder, too, if one of the reasons it was taken out of syndication was also about that narrative in the, I don't know if it's historically accurate or not, but that, we were not taking prisoners. We were just, shooting everyone, killing everyone.
Well, the first thing that occurs to me is we all know about the internment camps that were built for the Japanese Americans in the American West and on the island of Oahu. But it occurs to me, I've never really seen any historical photos of any large Japanese POW camps. I mean, American camps for Japanese POWs. And you have to think about what a logistics problem it is during that island hopping part of the war. Because to move all those captured prisoners anywhere significant, you're going to be using up ships and fuel and manpower. And so there might actually be something to that story.
Right. I was thinking the same thing. Okay. Thank you.
All right. Thanks an awful lot. We're going to switch over to Andrea in Oklahoma. Aloha. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Aloha.
Aloha.
Aloha. Last night when they're, I didn't see them ask, mention it, but I've heard that Oprah was planning on possibly running for president. The thing is, she is a part of this eugenics, the secret billionaires clubs that wants to have population control. And the only article, of course, I don't know how many things that if you put something into the computer that's, you know, damaging, I guess, to the rich, they're trying to avoid that you can find it. But I was able to find this article that goes back. It was published in 2009, and that Oprah Winfrey, you know, Bill Gates is a part of that group, and you pay big money to be a part of that group. The David Rockefeller, Ted Turner, Oprah Winfrey, Warren Buffett, George Soros, Michael Bloomberg, these people are trying to eliminate at least 85, if not 90% of the population. And she is a part of the one world government. And I just thought I would throw that in so everybody could think about that that's listening.
Well, thank you for the information here. You know, I don't think anybody should take Oprah seriously as a presidential candidate. She's a TV presenter, a very successful TV presenter, but that's her background, and she would be a disaster. She would be an absolute disaster as president. There's no question about that.
Well, I mean, just what about Bill Gates and his wife if they were made president? I mean, if they want to eliminate at least 85% or 90%, or Warren Buffett, any of these people that are part of this club that they paid big money to be in, and this is even George Soros. What if he decided to be president? All of these people that are part of this group are wanting to get rid of a lot, you me and everybody else that they consider below them.
Useless eaters.
So when we look at Oprah, or at least when I look at Oprah, and I was listening to your show back in 2009. Well, I started listening in 2008 during TARP. That was one of your stories. And I've kept that thought, you know, because you look at her, she's smiling, she seems sweet, but evidently there's a lot going on back there in her mind that maybe she doesn't like all the people that get in her way, and when she's trying to drive or go somewhere and stuff, and how wonderful the world would be with less than 85%
of the population. Well, there's a lot of people out there who think that the Earth would be a much more pleasant place with fewer humans. You've got the Georgia Guidestones that say the global human population should be limited to just $500 million. And I agree. The planet's overcrowded, and there's always going to be a population problem because sex is a lot more fun than dying. The issue that I have with everybody screaming about population reduction is that they're out there insisting that somebody else go without children or somebody else stop living sooner. And so I really cannot get behind that. You know, we're coming up in a world war that might just resolve that matter all by itself.
Well, personally, I don't think that's a bad idea. Just if people only had one or two children, because they are so expensive. Mm-hmm. That, what's the problem there?
Well, the problem there is that people who are aware of the population issue or under a stressed economy like we are, they are only having two children. Then you have people in other countries who are agricultural, and if you're growing up on a farm, the more kids you've got, the better, because the kids do the chores. Children are literally wealth to a farming community. You've got that. Then you've got various religions that are out there saying that if you use birth control or have an abortion, it's a sin against the gods and you will go to the dark regions. So not everybody is fully on board with this idea of population management, which is why you have people like Bill Gates and these others out there saying we have to force this through.
Yeah, I don't believe that that's the right way to go at it. I think there's I only stopped with one child, and that was challenging enough with just having and trying to raise one child, get them through school. We're still, you've got all the rebellious things that they do, but that's built in. God made them that way, so they get out on their own. And then, but he eventually decided to go to college. I supported that once he showed me he really meant it, and he came out a mathematician in science. He's math and science. He's a teacher, and he gets to deal with those students that just were like him. Rebellious.
Yeah, I went through that experience myself. I went through that experience myself. Well, you know, Andrea, you know, I mean, I've never bothered a child, at least that I'm aware of. And it's been one of the disappointments in my life. Anyway, listen, we need to let you go. The phone lines are loading up here. And we're going to switch over to Steve in Texas. Aloha, Steve. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind? Steve, are you there? We lost Steve. Let's switch over to Peter in Los Angeles. Aloha, Peter. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hey, Mike, I heard your caller a couple callers ago talking about taking prisoners in the Pacific War and so on during the Second World War. And I know that you're pretty knowledgeable about this. So, but one of the factors, several of the factors are the Bushido thing for the Japanese, which they didn't honor anybody who didn't take prisoners. They did not become prisoners themselves. The experience that our guys had when the Bataan Death March, what happened then became well known. We had on the Macon Island raid in early 1942, we had prisoners that were left behind that were beheaded and killed. The people on Wake Island that were taken in early, late 41, actually, were executed. There was a patrol in within the first 10 days of the Guadalcanal campaign where a lieutenant colonel named Frank Goetge, G-O-E-T-G-E, lived out of Columbus, Ohio, was the intelligence officer for the 1st Marine Division. And somebody came in, a laborer came in, said there were Japanese who wanted to be taken prisoner. They took a boat around the island, and this patrol of about 25 or 30 people were ambushed and killed almost to the last man. There were two or three survivors, but from then on, it was a absolute war to the death. The Marine Corps didn't take any. The Army didn't take any. If you ever watch the old World at War thing, when they have the Pacific War, or Island War, on the old Laurence Olivier narrated thing, there's an Army officer who's saying, briefing the troops before going into battle, and he's saying, if you guys have to take any risk at all to take a prisoner, he goes, then don't take them. And we didn't take prisoners. They didn't take prisoners. And as a matter of fact, there was a book on this title called War Without Mercy, Race and Power in the Pacific War by a guy named Dower, War Without Mercy by Dower. And going into just how much more brutal it was in the Pacific than it was in the European theater. And then there's the whole...
Yeah, in Europe, everybody was playing by the rules. There was some restraint. It was sort of a civilized war, if you can actually conceive of such a thing. But yeah, in the Pacific, it was brutal and savage and to the death. And I think Okinawa is a good example where, I mean, the Japanese just refused to surrender, and they were eventually all killed.
Just the very nature of also the racial aspect of it, but then there's the nature of the combat itself, where you're thrown on an island, there's nowhere off. In Europe, you could back up, you could you know, but this was, you're in a phone booth, and that was it. The winner came out of the phone booth, and there was no strategic withdrawal in any of those islands. So it was a really savage thing, and I know you know all that, but this is for the edification maybe of some of the people in the audience.
It validates some of the things I wondered about. I mean, I'm not really a war buff. I don't spend a lot of time studying the great battles and so forth. Over the course of my years, I've had occasion to learn a few, some of the battles, some of the famous battles and the mistakes that were made. But I wouldn't call myself a student of war.
Well, you know, you're a lot more knowledgeable than most. I can tell you that, Mike. But
thank you.
But at any rate, I just thought I'd chime in on that. And what was your impression on the Oprah thing? Why not Whoopi Goldberg?
Yeah, I'd go for Whoopi Goldberg before I would go for Oprah Winfrey, mostly because of the way Oprah Winfrey shamelessly exploited the militant feminist movement of the 1990s. I mean, she was out there pushing this whole thing, oh, men are rapists and this and that. But again, Whoopi Goldberg, and at least when I met her, she was a very nice person. That was a long time ago. Again, she's a comedian, very brilliant one. And an actress, but again, we need somebody in that Oval Office that knows how to do the job and isn't just going in there to cover up a massive multi-generational crime spree.
Mike, where are we going? Starting with, I guess, Ronald Reagan, an actor, and I can remember when Bill Clinton was elected and all the Hollywood stuff. I can remember Barbara Streisand went out and hired herself a political consultant because she had entree to the Clinton White House.
And
so all this stuff going on with, and now we've got Trump, who's a reality TV guy, and so is that what we're sentenced to from now on? Are these faux, ridiculous, personalities on television?
Trump only did the one reality TV show, and he spent most of his life as a businessman, which I thought was going to give him some of the smarts he would need to be president. But I was saying during last year's campaign, my concern was that he was going into the White House as naive about how Washington, D.C. really works as Jimmy Carter. But you're right. All of this began with Ronald Reagan. I lived in California at the time when he was governor and then running for president. And it was like it was this big joke, this guy who'd been an actor. Of course, he had also been governor of California. And before that, he'd been president of one of the major Screen Actors Guild. So he had some administrative governing experience prior to running for president. But all of a sudden, we have these people like George Clooney and Oprah who are out there saying, all I got to do is look good and smile, and I will get to be the president.
Man, where are we headed? Kardashians for president. Why not?
Anyway. Boy, that would be a sight there. Where I think we're headed is I think we're headed for a Soviet Union-style collapse. And every day that passes, I'm more and more convinced that's in our immediate future. It could even happen as soon as this year, especially if all of these investigations, somebody starts talking and turning state's evidence like Huma Abedin. I mean, now she's looking at obstruction of justice, lying under oath, perjury, lying to the FBI. That's another Title 18 violation. And apparently, James Comey is now under pressure to make a deal. It turns out that all seven of the memos he leaked to that professor, who then went to the media, all seven were classified. So now he's looking at Title 18 violations. So at some point, somebody's going to crack and say, you think what I'm accused of was bad? Let me tell you what these people over there were doing. And it will all unravel.
Let's hope. Let's hope that that happens, Mike.
Absolutely hope that that will happen.
Purging here. Well, hey, listen, thank you. Happy New Year, man.
Happy New Year to you, and we're going to take a break for commercials, and we'll be back with another phone call.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Hey, can we talk about something serious for a minute? Your age. Getting old has its perks. But remember, being a few years younger, you know, your hair was thicker, you didn't have so many wrinkles, that extra weight wasn't haunting you, and you just felt better. Well, we can't turn back the clocks and go back 10 or 15 years, but you can start feeling and looking 10 or 15 years younger with Nature's Youth RSF. It's a doctor-formulated daily supplement that helps your body maintain its peak performance and fight the aging process. Imagine sleeping better, looking better, and feeling better. See how Nature's Youth RSF has helped thousands of people just like you at naturesyouth.com. Naturesyouth.com. The holidays are coming. Imagine how it will feel when your family and friends are asking you what you did to look so good. Your secret will be Nature's Youth RSF. It's time to start looking better and feeling better. Learn more and order your Nature's Youth RSF at naturesyouth.com. That's naturesyouth.com.
Okay, nurse, let's get this man to the ER stat.
Right away, doctor.
We see this every day. Heart attack or angina pain due to blocked and clogged arteries. Chelation can remove obstructions or blockages from arteries and help avoid painful and expensive surgery. Now there's Angioprim. It's a liquid oral chelation product that you take with juice. You start to feel the results fast. Angioprim increases blood flow all over the body, and that means more energy and strength to take on the day with less aches and pains. 60 years of research has gone into chelation, and Angioprim is the result, a safe and easy way to unblock your veins and arteries from buildup that slow circulation.
Paging Dr. Jones, please report to the emergency room right away.
Log on now for a special radio offer from Angioprim. That's angioprim.com/radio. A-N-G-I-O-P-R-I-M. Angioprim.com/radio or call 877-882-7221. That's 877-882-7221.
What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero. You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Here is your host, Michael Rivero.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show here. We're going to go back to the telephones. Dustin in New Jersey. Aloha, Dustin. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Yeah, hi, Mike. Yeah, I wanted to talk about technology, but first, I know you mentioned Friday, I believe, about how all those new other Sears stores are closing. One
yes.
of them over in Toms River in New Jersey is closing. I used to go there as a child, you know, like, so, I mean, people need to realize what's going on here. I mean, the stores are slowly closing, And where are all these people going to go as replacement jobs? You know, I mean, I don't understand what's going on. I mean, I know what's going on, but I don't understand, like, how to stop it now. I mean,
it needs a reset. They've painted the economy into a hopeless corner of debt and cronyism and money junkie greed, and there are some dramatic things that could change the situation, but nobody in a position of power wants to do that. The system works for them. The system is sucking the wealth out of the pockets of the American people, and it's putting it in the pockets of the money junkies, and they are not going to let that change one tiny bit until it all comes crashing down.
You know, Mike, I watched, like, the CESs this week, and they got some really nice things, you know, but there's a lot of things I don't like, LG showing off these robots where, I don't know if you saw it, but these robots with these weird digital smiley faces that bring people their food in hotels, and they bring your luggage, and they have one that has like a basket for groceries. Now, where are those people? Not the basket with groceries, but where's the people who bring your food and the luggage up? Where are they going to get their jobs from? You know, I don't understand, like, why they should not allow. I mean, progress is one thing, but they should not allow to where it takes people's jobs away at this point. You know, because
I absolutely agree with you. We're headed to our world where we're going to have shopping malls filled with robot clerks and cashiers standing around with nothing to do because the consumers are still human and they don't have the money to come on in and buy the stuff. This is definitely a wrong direction to be going. I mean, don't get me wrong. I think robots are cool, and I've had some in the past I had fun with. My dog hated them. But this rush toward robotization of human jobs, it's a disaster waiting to happen because you're absolutely right. We've already got 100 million Americans unable to find work for months or years. There's more pressure on the labor market from all the illegal immigrants coming in, the refugees, the special program people. And it's very clear that our government is totally unconcerned. Our government is totally unconcerned because they've gone over to the side of the money junkies. As long as they're getting their goodies, their expensive cars, their houses, and live in the lap of luxury, they think that's the way the world is supposed to be. But obviously, this trend, if it continues, there will be a crash.
But Mike, you said it. Consumers don't have the money. But if there's no consumers to consume, robots are not going to consume. I mean, sure, they got to get fixed, but other robots will fix them. So how is that going to help consumption, you know, with robots?
All right, Dustin, we got
there, Mike.
Okay. We'll be back after station identification.
Worry a lot. If you're forgetful, nervous, moody, or overwhelmed, chances are you're not protecting yourself from the ravaging effects of stress and anxiety. No matter the cause, ongoing stress and elevated levels of the stress hormone cortisol can rob your memory, your health, your quality of life, and your future. Now you can combat the effects of stress and anxiety while improving your memory and recall at the same time with the dietary supplement Calm and Clever. Studies show that the ingredients in Calm and Clever reduce cortisol by as much as 30% in as little as 1 to 2 weeks and increase your ability to recall facts, names, and numbers in 4 to 12 weeks. Calm and Clever was created by scientist Kurt Hendricks, a principal investigator in 2 NIH-funded studies on Alzheimer's disease. Try Calm and Clever for 2 months. You'll feel the difference. Call 1-800-758-8746 or go to calmandclever.com.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.